The Israel Report with Rolien Marx.
Rolien Marx, been looking forward to speaking to you all day because, I've got a ticket to Israel in my pocket.
Israel in your pocket, because even though things are a little bit hectic at the moment with Corona, I remain optimistic. But should we take a look at what's happening with the corona as we speak?
Absolutely. That's what I've been waiting for.
Okay. So today, Israel's active cases of corona have jumped to 76. Now, we've been speaking a lot about the methods that Israel has implemented to try and take all precautions necessary. And one of those affected today was a worker at Ben Gurion Airport. Now, Israel has been the subject of fascination for the global media for the way that we've handled this. There's a very interesting article in the Times of Israel about the head economist who works for the health ministry, who has implemented, or whose idea it is for these very, very stringent methods. And one of the reasons, and this is where you can see that we are very much a military country, because we've responded to this with absolute military strategy and precision, is that we don't want to overstretch our already heavily burdened health system. So while it looks very, very tough, very, very almost draconian at the moment, our hope is that the long-term effects won't be drastic. So let's have a look at what we've implemented today.
Yeah.
Now, in the last hour or so, the government has announced that they're debating whether or not to shutter schools and keep kids at home so that they can learn online. Lessons will be given online. And earlier today, Hebrew U said that they will resume the second semester, which starts next week as normal, unless directed otherwise by the health ministry. I know I've received a lot of messages from people, what is happening, their kids are coming back to school. This is as per Hebrew, they said, unless the health ministry say they need to close and they will then take lessons online. So I think we're all grateful for technology at the moment. In the Palestinian territories, we have 30 active cases of corona, no deaths in either on either side, Israel or Palestinian. And what is very interesting is that we are working very, very closely to cooperate and see what we can do to save lives on both sides. So it can be done, people. It doesn't take governments, but unfortunately it seems to have taken a potentially fatal virus. El Al today announced that they will be putting about 85% of their pilots on unpaid leave. And the government also announcing today that they will be putting in place a $2.5 billion bailout for companies that have been impacted badly by corona. So every angle is being thought of. And, you know, just a reminder for those visiting Israel, anybody entering the country has to go into mandatory quarantine, or as we say here, you need to yoshev bebidud. Bidud is the word for quarantine. That's your free Hebrew lesson of the day. And this is for 2 weeks. And after the 2 weeks, once they're up, we will reassess and see how we move from there. So yes, so we're taking every precaution we possibly can. And even today, it was announced by Auschwitz-Birkenau, which sees millions of visitors to remember and to pay tribute to victims of the Holocaust. They are closed until the 25th of May. So I think a lot of museums, a lot of facilities, a lot of places that attract large amounts of people are taking as many precautions as they possibly can.
You know what's so bizarre, Rolien, is one would have expected the price of accommodation in Israel to have fallen substantially over this particular period, but that has not happened. Airbnb has come out with a statement saying that they can't keep up with the demand, that foreigners are needing properties for 2 weeks. And they're flying off the shelves. Isn't that an interesting unintended consequence?
That is very interesting. I think, you know, the people that are seem to be seeing, and I hate to use the term silver lining, are company, anybody who provides like online net meeting facilities, Airbnb, hand sanitizers, and I think companies have learned that you know, their policies of having people being able to work remotely and in an office are working. I know the CEO of Mellanox says, you know, the sky's not falling. He says he's got 50 staff in bidud at the moment or in quarantine at the moment. And he says, not to worry. He says, we're still managing to work and be productive. So, you know, this is, I think, one of those rare times where we actually bless technology because we are early adapters as human beings, and we're able to move from the classroom or from the office space into the internet.
Okay, so let's leave Corona and let's move to the next most topical discussion in Israel, elections. Any closer to cobbling together a coalition?
We thought we were closer to cobbling together some kind of coalition, but it looks like we have drama as expected. Well, today, President Reuven accepted the official election result, but we've had some drama. You know, we've had, Geshe Meretz, Emet, Yisrael Biteinu, which nobody would have expected, the blue and white, and possibly the joint list, all saying that they will form some kind of center-left minority government. And now, today, we heard that the leader of Geshe, Orly Levy Apakasis, her late father was a member of the Likud. She has said that she will not join that. Now, she's taken a lot of flack. Because first of all, people are angry that, you know, any holdups or any complications that ensure that we don't have a coalition government could set us to a fourth election, and nobody wants that right now. The other issue that people have said is that she basically trafficked on her ticket as leader of Geshe to get a place as a Chavera Knesset, and there's speculation that she may defect to the Likud. And of course, members of her party and various other parties are extremely angry at this. In fact, some are even calling her a traitor. And earlier today, Yisrael Biteinu, the joint list, and the blue and white all met to look at what they could recommend to the president, what they could recommend to other people. And what is very interesting is even though they're sitting together and talking, the three of them have said that basically their stance on each other hasn't changed. So, you know, you can't make this stuff up. This happens only in Israel.
And what is so just unbelievable is that she is considered to be a left-wing politician, so it doesn't make sense, the position that she's taking. I don't understand it. And what I'm also thinking, just in terms of electoral systems, I mean, Israeli system is actually a very good system, despite the fact that you can't produce a clear winner this time around. But I'm just thinking, in a constituency system, at least you are accountable to somebody. Who is this woman accountable to, Orly Levy Abakasis? You know, pretty much nobody.
She's definitely accountable to her party. You know, she was the party leader and promised her a whole plethora of things. And, you know, it's very, very strong words to use the term traitor, traitor to Israel, traitor to her party. So I would imagine there are some very heated discussions taking place behind the scenes.
I would imagine you are spot on. Today we're also going to talk about a UK minister who apparently has called out anti-Zionism for being anti-Semitism.
This is a trend that we are seeing with quite a few governments around the world, you know, saying that the jig is up, that you can't say I'm anti-Zionist, but I love Jews. And the latest is the Minister for the Cabinet Office in the UK, Michael Gove. He said that he equates anti-Zionism with anti-Semitism. He says, you know, the kind of language that is used, the anti-Semitic tropes, the stereotypes, and here he singled out Jeremy Corbyn and the Labour Party for the kind of language that they were using in the run-up to the elections towards the end of last year. And he says, you know, when criticism of policies kind of crosses the line and becomes a question of whether or not this country needs to exist and questions people's their loyalty to which country they belong to and questions the Jewish people's right to, you know, organize themselves politically and have a country, he says, we have definitely crossed the line. And he follows a few other world leaders who have said that anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism. And yesterday we spoke about the president of Columbia University, Lee Bollinger, who actually called out BDS when he spoke about anti-Semitism on campus. So I think that people are starting to wake up, and you know, what we've been saying for years is starting to really sink in.
Very, very interesting indeed, as always, Rolene Marks. We got a date, same time, same place tomorrow.